Cape Talk.
DIY.
Now, we have a double header in DIY today. First, we want to give you a heads up about BIBC compliance, in particular, if you're planning on doing a build or a home renovation. And if you don't know what that is, you're not alone, but please stay with us because we will explain in just a couple of minutes. And then after that, we're going to be talking LED lights. So if you have questions about LED lights, about replacing your old ones and about what you can expect from them, etc., you can start sending email or SMS questions now or give us a call once that conversation gets underway. The number to dial is 021-446-0567. And we've quoted this quote often on the DIY slot. You know what they say about building, that it will take three times as long as you think, it'll cost twice as much as you planned, and you'll only ever do it once. That aside, though, we know a lot of you are either extending or renovating your properties. You plan your designs, you do the good costing, you look for contractors, you cost the raw materials, etc. But maybe you haven't been aware of the fact that there's another step in that process that you need to be checking off, and that is making sure that the contractors you're using are BIBC compliant. The BIBC is the Building Industry Bargaining Council. It actually has its origins all the way back in the 1920s. And with us in studio to explain who they are and what they do and why you need to check that your contractors are compliant, we're delighted to welcome Ronelle Sheelan and Michael Caldecott of the BIBC. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
welcome to you, Michael. Ronelle, in a nutshell, what is the BIBC?
Maybe we should start about what is a bargaining council, because I think most people don't understand what a bargaining council is. Employer bodies and trade unions establish bargaining councils under the Labour Relations Act, normally within an industry and area. Once a bargaining council is established, they negotiate terms of employment for that industry. The terms of employment generally includes minimum wages and employee benefits. The Minister of Labour then signs these employment conditions into law, and as such it becomes applicable to everyone in the industry. The Building Industry Bargaining Council Cape of Good Hope, or the BIBC, has been around in different forms since the 1920s. The BIBC's collective agreement, as negotiated between the trade unions and the employer bodies, has been signed into law by the Minister of Labour. And this means everyone in the building industry within the broader Cape Town area have to comply with these employment conditions. In broad terms, the building industry includes all activities performed on building sites, such as brickwork, painting, waterproofing, plumbing, gutters, roofing, etc.
Okay, so in a nutshell, we're talking here about a body that's there to protect the employees, the tradesmen working on those sites, make sure they're fairly treated and properly compensated for their work. Michael, does it have any additional benefit in terms of guaranteeing the quality of that work?
No, Pepper, the BIBC is not mandated to look at quality of workmanship. There are various other organs that do look at quality. The BIBC is mandated in terms of the Labour Relations Act, and therefore we look at labour relations issues only on site.
Okay. So, the key message for those listening is that you want to be sure that you are using a contractor who is treating his people fairly. You don't want to be employing some fly-by-night that's paying below minimum wage, that's denying things like sick leave and leave and the proper benefits that everyone should be entitled to. You don't want to contribute to that situation, Michael.
I think it's very important that all contractors are compliant. We need to treat the people that work for us, that work for 40 years doing manual labor on sites, are treated fairly and can one day retire with a pension fund and have sick pay, have leave pay, have bonus pay, etc. So it's very important that from a social responsibility that the givers of work, that anybody that has a contract to work for them, that they choose a compliant contractor to do the work for them.
Okay, so the social responsibility aspect, absolutely important. Ronelle, is there a legal obligation? So if you are going to employ a company to do some work on your site, is it incumbent on you that you must employ only someone who is BIBC compliant?
That's correct. It's a legal requirement for all builders in our area to be compliant, and we would like to advise everybody to first go to our website at www.bibc.co.za. you simply click on looking for a contractor. You can choose between the different general building, plumbing, etc. Mm-hmm. And we will give you a list of compliant employers for that particular trade.
What about those who aren't complying? If you're looking and you've come across somebody in your area who's been recommended or that you found via some advertising, and you ask them, are you compliant? And they say, no, we're not. Is that something that you just let go and say, well, I won't do business with you? Or should you rather actually be reporting that fact?
We would obviously prefer people to report it to us. We do take anonymous reports, mm-hmm. and we will follow it up without telling anybody who gave us that information.
Okay. Renal has mentioned, Michael, that this is in our area. We're talking here about the Cape of Good Hope. Are there similar bodies in the rest of the country, or are we quite unusual in having this?
No, there are various other bargaining councils. The BIBC, if I might just tell you, our area of jurisdiction is the Greater Cape Peninsula, extending up the west coast as far as Azefontein, moving eastwards across Darling through the Riebeek, Castile, Riebeek West, coming down the Hottentotsholland Mountains to Wellington, Malmesbury, Wellington, Paarl, Franschhoek, Stellenbosch, Somerset West, Gordons Bay, going around to the Overstrand area from Roy Els to Purley Beach. That is our area. It, just surrounded by us, there is another bargaining council, the BBC, which then takes the area further. There are also bargaining councils in other provinces.
Okay, thank you for that. So it's an extensive area you're talking about. Now, within that area, is there a cost to contractors to register with the BIBC, Renal?
There's no cost to register, but obviously for our admin fee, there is a levy, a daily levy, currently at R2.01 for the employer and for as well as for the employee. And that levy obviously covers our cost to administer compliance. Compliance is extremely important for the different contractors because they need to compete on the same playing field in terms of the cost of labour. Therefore, it's important for everybody to be compliant. You don't want to be competing with somebody that's paying his guys R15 an hour as opposed to our minimum wage, which is about R26 an hour.
Now, it's tempting for many people. I mean, a build can be a very expensive exercise. It's tempting to save costs wherever you can. And I think many people would probably go, gosh, I'd rather take the contractor who's offering me a labour cost of R15 an hour. Apart from the social conscience, what else can we do to convince them that it's not a good idea, Renal?
Yeah, unfortunately, people do go for the cheapest quote. And unfortunately, they then end up with shoddy workmanship, etc., etc. If you're looking at build quality, you need to contact the Master Builders Association. There's one in Cape Town and in the Boerland area. They look at the quality of building. We don't have any proper evidence of this, but our personal feeling is if you have a contractor that's looking after his employees in terms of these minimum wages, you are going to get better work, but obviously that's very difficult to prove. So rather do yourself the favour, look at the compliance because your chances are better of actually ending up with what you asked for instead of having to go back 6 months and your little garage is still falling apart.
Goedkoop is duurkoop.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Michael, I mean, I saw you nodding there emphatically agreeing with what Renal was saying, that I mean, you can probably instinctively say if somebody has made the effort to treat their people properly, to make sure they are registered, that they are paying fair wages, etc., it's probably a fair assumption that they will also be putting the same level of attention to detail into the other aspects of their work.
Yes, I think that's correct, Pepper. What I'd like to say also is that's very important to keep in mind that the BIBC has a compliance department. We have, in terms of the Labour Relations Act, designated agents which go out and do site inspections. We are doing round about approximately 500 to 600 site inspections a month in our area of jurisdiction. Now, what can happen is you take a contractor, he's not compliant, he's underpaying his employees' wages because obviously he's undercut on his quote, and my inspectors find him on site and we follow a legal process. Now, suddenly, that contractor has a problem because now he's been taken to task for underpayment of wages, and he's got to find that money somewhere. So either he's got to shortcut in terms of quality, or he's got to run away, and that ends up that the client suffers during their building project, and this happens quite often in the area.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. You've mentioned the website where one can go to check whether the contractor you're considering is compliant. It's www.bibc.co.za. Is there any kind of ID card or registration document issued that we can ask to see?
There is a registration document, but more importantly, there's a compliance certificate. So if you look on that website, there's also something that says check if an employer or contractor is compliant. Then if you put the name or part of the name in there, it comes up with the details. You then click on there, it generates a compliance certificate. It's updated twice a day, so it's really, really up to date.
That's as current as you get, yeah.
That's very, very current, yeah.
If I can just add, as you check for compliance, you will find that when you type in the name of a contractor, there will come up two colors. One will be green and one looks like maroon or red. Mm-hmm. If there is a color green, there will be a button which will say submit. That means the company is compliant and you can generate a compliance certificate. If the company is purple or red, then you will not see the submit button. That means that company, for one or other reason, is currently not compliant.
Okay, so you can't make it any easier than the green and red light system. Thank you. Updated twice a day. They really have done the homework. We've got a caller on the line who wants to chat about the importance of compliance, and that's Baron Engelbrecht, who's the general manager of the Indawo Group. We've had them in as guests themselves before. Baron, it's lovely to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Excellent. Thanks, Pippa. Hi, Michael and Runel. Great to be on the show today. Thanks. It's great to be on the show today because, in the end, BIBC, which we are ardent supporters of and have been for a long time, and the givers of work has got all the power. You know, BIBC, with their resources, can only do so much. And if the givers of work, the people that give out the work, can ensure that the BIBC compliance is there, then, in the end, we know we're looking after the workers and their rights in the construction industry. So we're very excited that this is coming on the radio today.
Baron, I'm sure you'd like to encourage other employers to do what you've done and ensure you're compliant. But what's your message to members of the public who are considering having work done and might be tempted to go the cheap non-compliant route?
Well, I think in general what we found when you're working with compliant contractors, they're the ones that will deliver a certain quality because they have also got a brand they want to protect. Like you've probably seen our signage around, and you know, it's important for us when we finish a project that everything goes according to plan. A lot of the other guys that are not compliant change their name, or the next day they're a different company. And it's good to work with guys that's been around for a while, like us and other guys that are compliant. So we're very happy to compete with other guys that's also compliant, to know that we're not competing by exploiting workers, but we're competing with efficiency and how we run our business. And that, in the end, in South Africa, where we're looking to upbuild skills, what happens in the BIBC process is we're upskilling our workers, we're creating artisans. It's not happening if you're employing somebody that's not BIBC compliant. That person is picking somebody up, is not giving them any support, is not training them, and the guys that are compliant like us, we do that. And you're supporting the bigger moral obligation in South Africa as well, to ensure that we give decent work.
That's the bottom line. Barend Engelbrecht, thanks so much for calling in, General Manager of the Indawo Group. So there's the ethical consideration. There's also the long-term skills building. Inevitably, someone's SMS saying, surely it's better for someone to have a job of any sort paying an amount than to have no work at all. How do you respond to that argument?
That is a difficult one, especially in terms of the unemployment in this country. Unfortunately or fortunately, building work is not dependent on demand in the same, in other words, building, there will always be the same demand for building work, whatever the cost of employment is. If KFM needs a new building, they need a new building, whatever the cost. So employers that are compliant build that into their cost, others don't. So who actually gets the difference? Those owners. So I think it's very important to realize that all we're doing is shifting that profit margin to share it to be more equitable, so that the people at top aren't getting richer. The number of employment opportunities will always be the same. Mm. It's different in other industries. For instance, the clothing industry, where you get your cheap stuff from China, but in this case, it's all local, so
it can't be imported across from somewhere else. Yeah. Jennifer called in while we were listening to Barrett there to say she's, I think, a little confused about BIBC versus the Master Builders Institute. Can you just clarify the difference between the two, Michael?
Okay. A bargaining council is formed by various parties. And in a bargaining council, there are two main parties. You have organized labor, which represents the employees, and that's the trade unions. On the other side, you have an employer body or employer bodies, which represent the business owners. Now, the Master Builders Association is an employer body. So it is a right of an employer to become a member of such an association, and obviously will need to pay the fees of that association. The BIBC is a statutory body from the Labour Relations Act, and in terms of the Government Gazette, it is compulsory for every employer in the industry and every employee in the industry to be registered with us. So there's a big difference between the BIBC and the MBA. The BIBC, in terms of law, you have to belong to us or be registered with us. That is why there's no membership fees or registration fees. It's completely separate with the MBA. That is your choice as an employer to belong to it. The same as an employee, you've got a choice to belong to a trade union or not.
Okay, thanks for that. I just want to say we've gone much longer with the conversation. Clearly, there's a need for this, the educational aspect of the conversation today, judging by the questions coming through. I'm going to suggest that we hold over the conversation about the LED lights for another week so that we can do that justice on its own. So my apologies if you were holding out for that conversation. I'll let you know as soon as we have a new date confirmed for that, with apologies to the second guest. But I think really important for everyone to understand the importance of the compliance we're talking about. A WhatsApp asking, what is the email address if you want to? You've given a website address, but if we want to email you for more information or to check compliance, how do they contact you?
You can email BIBC at BIBC.co.za.
Okay, BIBC at BIBC.co.za.
Okay. Pepe, I'll also give my personal email address, my BIBC. It's mcaldicott@BIBC.co.za. And I will put that person in touch with the correct person to help them with their queries.
Thank you so much. And that's spelled C-A-L-D-E-C-O-T-T. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, M. Caldicott. Thank you for that. If you have any final questions on this topic, please call right now on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. Maybe difficult to ask you of this, but do you have a sense of how much of the industry is compliant? How many, if you had to put a percentage to it, is it more than half of building contractors are compliant, or are you still battling with a lot of uncompliant builders?
That is a rather difficult question because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I can say that from 2014, in 2014 we had as active employers on our system 1,400 or thereabouts, and out of those, 1,100 were compliant. Since then, we've increased our number of inspectors or agents. Those are the guys under Michael. And we increased that to August 2015 to over 2,000 active employers. Out of those, 1,500 were compliant. And then now in 2017, the active employees are 2,200 and the compliant ones are 1,600. So out of those active employees, we've got a 74% compliancy rate. We also, for instance, in our annual payout, some of your listeners might not know, the Bargaining Council administers the employees' leave and bonus pay.
Mm-hmm.
So the employer will pay over each month the portion of the holiday and bonus pay, and in December the Bargaining Council pays that out to the individual employees. Now we currently, as we sit now, and we haven't closed our books yet, we'll be paying out almost 49,000 people. Gosh. And that's 3,100 employers out there. So we might not have caught every single one, but we believe that we have done great work in order to get as many as possible. We've increased our number of site inspections from 200 in 2014 to 800 in 2016, and currently we're sitting on about 500 a month.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, those are 49,000 people who might otherwise have been left. Sorry, it's builder's holiday, there is no work, and here is a nice long 6-week unpaid period for you to survive. Yeah, who now at least have that safety net there. Yeah. Fantastic. Let's just go to the lines. Dale's given us a call from Southfield with a question. Dale, good afternoon.
Hi there. Speaking to Dale.
Your question,
can you hear
Dale?
Me?
Yes, we can. Very quickly before we go to news. Dale, your question?
Yeah, I just want to ask you, so what do you do with subcontractors that are non-compliant, working for compliant contractors? In that case, how would that be monitored going forward? And does the NHRBC fall away, because that's kind of just useless?
Okay, important question, particularly about the subcontractors. What's the answer, Michael?
Okay, the Government Gazette Clause 7 holds the main contractor jointly and severally liable for the compliance of the subcontractors on his site. So when my people go out and do a site inspection and they find, for instance, a non-compliant subcontractor, they will issue that subcontractor with a compliance order. But at the same time, they will issue the main contractor with a compliance order to say, you have got a non-compliant subcontractor on site. Then both between the main contractor and the subcontractor, they've got 14 days to fix the compliance. Failing to do that, obviously we follow certain processes where it will end up that the matter goes to arbitration and then obviously debt collection. The NHBRC is not part of the BIBC, so I wouldn't like to comment on another organization.
That's fair enough. And that is where we must, in any case, end the conversation. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us. Michael Caldicott and Ranelle Sheelan of the Building Industry Bargaining Council, thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much for having us.